The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Welcome to Off to the Races Conversations, our weekly podcast where we get a chance to spend a little bit more time with our guests and dig in a little more to the issues that matter to Mid-Atlantic racing. My name's Frank Vespi. On this week's program, we're going to bring in Cricket Goodall of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and Maryland Million. We'll be talking all things Maryland Million. Off to the Races Conversations is powered by The Racing Biz. Check it out online, www.theracingbiz.com. You can also find them on social media at The Racing Biz. They're on Twitter, Flickr, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place, and always happy to hear from folks on social media. And of course, you can pick up their free mobile app, free for your Apple and Android devices. Once again, Off to the Races Conversations powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. My name's Frank Vespi. Up next, talking with Cricket Goodall of Maryland Million.
Into the stretch at the 360s in the Classic. Rendimi Forest Fire head to head now for that final furlong. Tattooed is in third. Clubman did not kick on. It's Forest Fire, Tenacious. Forest Fire, Prendimi. Forest Fire, Prendimi. Forest Fire prevails. And Prendimi trying again. Forest Fire from Prendimi.
Cricket Goodall from Maryland Million Limited, Maryland Horse Breeders Association, joins me here on Off to the Races Conversations. Cricket, happy Maryland Million Week.
Yeah, what a week. What a week. It's what a year. It's all different. But yeah, we're happy about it. It's here. Ready or not, here we come.
So you sort of have opened the door to the question. I mean, obviously this pandemic has had all sorts of effects on horse racing, on sports, on life in general. But for you guys, for Maryland Million, I would guess there had to be moments there where you weren't sure if there was going to be a Maryland Million this year.
Yeah, as COVID, managed to last longer than we thought, We had to adjust our thoughts on the day and what we could afford. Our goal really was to put on a race day, to have enough money to come up with $1 million to put on a race day. We realized fairly early in the summer that we were not going to be able to do all the festivities that we like to do or have the fans that we love to have. So then the focus was on just have a great race day for Maryland sired and Maryland bred horses and show off the product that we have here to the best of our abilities.
So how does this, obviously you mentioned that it changes the event for you guys, that you won't have the fans, you won't have all the sort of ancillary stuff. I mean, I would guess that actually makes for a little calmer week around the horse breeder's office. Is that true?
Yeah, it does. It feels very strange not to have the gala the night before and be frantically sending out tickets and, hearing from everybody who wants to get there and be there. But that's weird. That's what's weird about it. It's like, wow. And throughout the year, the things that we do, we really haven't been able to do many events that we normally do other than our yearling show that we did in July. We pushed it back a month. But so all of the festivities and work that has just, had to be put off until next year, we hope, or as soon as we can get back to some semblance of normalcy.
It would be nice to get back to that, wouldn't it?
It would, except next year is going to feel like, oh, my God, how did we do all this work before? After we've had it, it sort of feels like we have a year off. So it's, we're going to have to get back in the swing of things. But that's good. We're looking forward to that.
You come back energized for next year, right? You'll be thinking, boy, that
exactly.
Stuff is cool. I wish we could do that.
Yeah,
Now, one of the events that you do, you mentioned the gala the night before, and a part and parcel of that is always a silent auction, also a live auction, but you do a silent auction. And this year, the silent auction has moved online. Why don't you give us a little bit of little bit of the lowdown on the online version of the silent auction.
Yeah, so we still have tried to do as much, you know, around Maryland Million as we can. And one thing is the silent auction, which is our annual fundraiser for our foundation, for the Maryland Horse Foundation. So Jordan and my office work diligently to, you know, recruit items, sort of the same kind of items we would have had at the gala for the silent auction, and do it all online. So we have a great silent auction opening tomorrow, and it will go through next Monday, actually. So you'll get to see, you know, the tickets to the Preakness next year and artwork and all kinds of things that, again, you would have been seeing in person at the gala, but we hope that everybody will look for it online and bid and support a good cause and spend a little money with us. So it you know, that's a new thing for us, but we got to do what we got to do.
How can people get to see this auction, get to participate in it?
So you need to go to MarylandHorse.com. That is the website that has, because that's what our foundation website is, and that'll have a link directly to the auction. There also will be access to it through MarylandThoroughbred.com, but the most direct route is to go to MarylandHorse.com and link that way. And once you go in there and look at the items and or bid, you know, it pretty well sets it up for you to monitor it easily. If you've bid on something, it takes your information. And I'm sure a lot of people have done online auctions in this day of COVID. So, you know, they'll notify you if your bid is you know, been out, if you've been outbid and stuff like that. So it's easy to do and fun and also raises money for us. So we're asking everyone to check it out.
Usually a lot of good stuff at that auction. I'll look forward to checking out the website, MarylandHorse.com, to see what's on offer this year. I'll have to keep my wife away from the computer, though, because she's usually the reason we walk out of there with some stuff. So.
Yeah, you're right. We, you know, the people that are there in person, we hope we can corral them all to look online. It's not going to be as easy, but yeah, we'd like to have her sneak on there and look. She might find something she really likes, and that's good for us.
She has been known to find things she really likes on there.
She has.
So another thing you were talking about, the trying to do as many of the things you usually do around the event as you can that you're trying to do this year. And one of those things is the Joe Kelly Unsung Hero Award. And kind of neat this year. You went maybe a little bit off the beaten path with the award winner is a guy who runs City Ranch in Baltimore. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
So, yeah, each year we, you know, ask for nominations for an Unsung Hero Award in the name of Joe Kelly, who was a longtime publicist for the Maryland Million, good friend of Jim McKay's, and just a great guy. And so we're looking for people who, you know, maybe you hadn't heard of, but they're behind the scenes doing really good work. So this year the winner is Ahusamak Don, his name is, and he started something called the City Ranch, which is just inside city limits and has horses of all shapes and sizes, sort of. And what he has done is work with the education community in Baltimore City to introduce children to horses. He would, in before pre-COVID, he would take horses to the schools and, you know, working with the education community and have kids come out and touch a horse, lead a horse. He also worked closely with us at the Maryland State Fair to do that. So it's just really inspiring, and he's really the only person that was doing that would take, you know, animals to a site. And, you know, he's gone to nursing homes and all kinds of things, but he really, the really inspiring part is watching kids who really would have no access to horses being able to actually touch them and hold a lead shank and, you know, possibly pick up their foot if they're brave enough. And it's great, and he's just a really good guy, so we're all happy that he was the recipient this year. Joe Kelly would be smiling.
Yeah, so why, I mean, I know everyone has, I didn't know Joe Kelly, everyone that I have met who did speaks highly of him, but why is he the right person to be attached to this Unsung Hero Award?
Oh my, Joe was just a very down-to-earth, very humble He was a sports writer by trade, a longtime sports writer at the different papers. And so he loved horse racing. He lived in Baltimore City, loved Pimlico. He was of the Jim McKay era. In fact, they were the two people at, I believe, WMAR for the first televised horse race in the state of Maryland. They were the talent for a live horse race. So it was quite a big deal. And, you know, one thing led to another, and Jim McKay's career took off as a broadcaster, live broadcaster. Joe was much more behind the scenes working at the Sun, and as did Jim McKay for a while. So that's how they knew each other. But he just was a great guy. He loved horse racing, very quiet, no ego. And again, once he sort of cut back his time writing for the papers, he came to work for the Maryland Million and really did all of our publicity starting in 1985 before I was here, helping promote the Maryland Million, and he loved that. So it's just a really good way to honor a really nice man and try to carry on with some of his characteristics that are so important to, you know, in this day and age. He just was really a great guy, and you want to acknowledge that.
Talking with Cricket Goodall of Maryland Million Limited, talking a little bit of Joe Kelly Unsung Hero Award there. Cricket, one of the things I noticed, you know, looking over the pre-entries and whatnot, is the turf sprint is back for the first time in several years. Talk about that decision. What led you all to decide to reinstitute a race that had existed for 8 or 10 years previously and then gone into mothballs?
Well, we have a race committee. We have a board of directors, the Maryland Million does, and we have a race committee that focuses on the conditions every year. We sort of reassess the race card. And obviously the goal is to have the best, most fullest fields we can get, the best races that will appeal to the community so that the handle is good and bettors are interested. And so when the turf sprint went away, it seemed to be cannibalizing the other turf races was the reason for that. And so at that point, the committee recommended let's, you know, do away with it so that the turf horses would run in the other turf races. This year, after much discussion, it was agreed that we should put it on again. And we had to massage the purses a little in order to pay for it because we didn't have any extra money, to say the least, this year. So it was really important that we try to figure out a way to pay for it if they wanted to do it, and we did. And so, you know, turf racing has become, as everyone knows, more and more popular. The races fill, and they're good betting races usually. So there was a lot of appeal, and it looks like it, you know, it didn't. Well, until the entries come out, we won't know till tomorrow, but it doesn't look like it did hurt the other. I know there's some cross-centered horses, but hopefully it didn't hurt the other turf races, and it'll be strong fields everywhere.
Ben's Cat is set down, and here's Ben's Cat carrying 128 pounds, racing down the stretch here at Laurel Park to the second wire in the sprint, and Hero's Reward on the far outside. Colony Club, the mayor, is right there to chime in very late. Ben's Cat, Hero's Reward, a clash of millionaires down to the line. Ben's Cat, oh, what a cool cat he is! Ben's
now,
Cat!
When the race had gone away, when it went away, Ben's Cat had won three consecutive runnings of it, which had tied him for the most Maryland Million wins ever. And then the race that he was best in went away, and then he finished second 3 years in a row. So I guess my question is, have you heard from King Leatherbury about this decision?
I did tell King after the board, you know, decided to go ahead and reinstate it, and he laughed, thankfully. I mean, King took it in good measure. He was part of the discussion when the race went away, and Ben's Cat, God love him, but he was part of the problem, because when he would run, you know, the race, somebody, you know, several people didn't want to run against him. So when you get a bear like that, you know, you love to have him. I'm not saying you don't want him to run, but it usually impacts the field size. So I think King got that, and sure, he would have loved to have it carded another year or two so he could break the record. I'm positive of that, but he's a good sport.
Did he tell a corny joke that, you know, was au courant 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think he's over the hurt and thinking it was him to, you know, we were trying to pick on him, but we weren't. And he will, if you get him aside, will admit that he knew it was happening at the time. We didn't just, you know, take the race off and then tell him. He heard why, and he understood it. Might not have liked it, but he understood.
What, now you've been around Maryland Million more or less from the beginning, I guess not quite from the beginning, but do you feel like it's lived up to what it was supposed to be, what Jim McKay and others intended for it to be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that it was the, for many, many years, was the driver or a big part of driving traffic to breed to Maryland Stallions. It's the most important Maryland Stallion program that we have here to try to encourage mares to come in to breed to Maryland Stallions. Over time, as you know, we had to sort of allow opening the races if they didn't fill with Maryland sired horses to Maryland bred horses, which is fine too. But the program initially was focused on just the breeding industry, just wanting commerce to come into Maryland. Maryland bred's foal here, but they can be by any stallion. And so the goal was to have $1 million focused on Maryland or regional stallions, Maryland stallions. They could be foaled somewhere else and still be by a Maryland stallion. And for several years, the stallions that had multiple winners that day, it helped their career. I'm confident of that. You know, especially if it was a relatively new stallion and his 2-year-olds won or something, it definitely impacted his book for the upcoming, for, you know, for the next breeding season. So, and over time, I mean, I think that was the goal. I believe that was Jim McKay's goal. But then over time, it's also become a wonderful, you know, regional Maryland-focused event, sort of loyalty pride event, which I guess we hoped would happen, but you never know. We have people until this year who would maybe not go to the races any other time or once or twice a year, but they would say, oh, yeah, I've been to every Maryland Million since it started. And, you know, so that's what's the shame about this year. That's what is, because we had really loyal fans that just loved the day. They may not have been a regular Saturday at the track fan, but so we hope that that'll come back, because I think the ability to do that in this day and age, to do an event where you get a big crowd of, you know, really happy revelers as much as bettors, is hard to do, because, you know, they don't have to come out to the track anymore, especially people that aren't that interested in betting. You know, they can watch it, well, you know, I can watch it on TV, or they can do it other ways. So I hope we don't lose that ability to fill up the track, fill up Laurel next year with fans.
Yeah, well, certainly you guys have, as you say, you've done a good job of bringing the fans out over the years, and you would hope that this is just a hiccup and not a major roadblock.
Well, and one thing we did, Frank, is we have always invited legislators. The entire legislature gets invited, and the governors, and so they are very familiar with. Even if they've never been, they have heard about the Maryland Million. They've seen their invitations. So in 2009, one of the delegates, Sandy Rosenberg, proposed that the day be named after Jim McKay. He loved Maryland Million, Sandy Rosenberg. He's still a delegate now. And he, after much working in Annapolis, we got a resolution in both the House and the Senate, which the House had never passed a resolution like that before. And it didn't get done till the last day of the session, but it was quite it wasn't controversial. It's just, it was, they didn't really do it until the last minute. But so consequently, the legislature as invested or supportive of our race day as they are of the Preakness. Of course, they've heard of the Preakness, but Maryland Million has a different flavor, much more Maryland focused, Maryland oriented, Maryland industry oriented, which we like and we want them to understand.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I did the commentary for you guys on TVG, and I think Kate and Bradar asked me sort of about Maryland Million. I said, you know, the Preakness is like the big party you throw for everyone you've ever met, and, you know, a billion people, and Maryland Million is like the party you throw for your family. You know, and it's sort of, it's everybody who cares about Maryland racing is there. And a lot of those people may not be at the Preakness. They might say, it's just too much of a thing for me. And the Preakness draws in people from all over the country. But Maryland Million is really, and for the local breeder, owner, whatever, you know, the person who's breeding to a $5,000 stallion or a $2,500 stallion, you could dream about winning a Maryland Million race. You probably can't dream about winning the Preakness, or it's a long shot dream. You could win a Maryland Million race.
Exactly. It was one. I mean, you hear oftentimes the winners of the, even not the Classic, but the other races, it's like their Preakness, they'll say, and we were working towards it as their Preakness. There's really great stories for small breeders, you know, one or two horses or one or two mares, and they end up winning, if not the Classic, you know, another race on the card, which that's a big purse, $100,000 plus purse is a big purse to people still, at least certainly on a regional level. And so we love that. And we love that the little guys can be on the same playing field. You know, you're not going to probably see Chad Brown sending, you know, two or three horses down here on Saturday. And that's fine. That's fine with us.
In fact, it's better that way, because he'd probably have finished 1, 2, 3 in all the turf races if he did.
Yeah. So we want people. I mean, we want out of town people that have Maryland sired horses, and hopefully the farms are recruiting those. I'm not saying we don't want, a trainer that's not local to come in and run his horse, but we also like to see the local guys shine.
Into the stretch
day.
Now, Call Paul at a 45.19 half mile. Shakes away with a 3-length lead. Taco Supreme coming to the center of the track into second. Lewis Field is third. Call Paul, 2-length lead. Taco Supreme keeps on coming at him on the outside. Taco Supreme, Sheldon Russell, and Taco Supreme to win it 5-1 over
talking
the favorite Call
Cricket
Paul.
Good all
Lewis
about
Field
Maryland
is third.
Million here.
All
Maryland
pass
Million coming up Saturday the 24th. You can go to, is it MarylandMillion.com for more info?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Or MarylandRacing.com. They'll have some information there on what the final details are going to be on fan, you know, if you can go. There's 250 fans allowed. I don't know the details of how all that's going to work. You really do need to go to MarylandRacing.com to get that information. But we hope that we can fill up with fans that are allowed to come, and owners' guests. So we have, you know, some people there.
There will be some people. Who knows how many or what that's going to be like. I don't know if you got out to the Preakness, but it was a very, very strange day. Were you out there?
I didn't go to the Preakness this year, but I did hear from people, a couple people who were there, that it was sort of eerie, you know, just strange. Just, you know, I mean, for running a horse, but if you're, you know, if you went as press or something, it just seemed so very different. So I wish I was there to see the filly win, because I really hoped she'd win. And so afterward, I'm sort of regretting that I hadn't tried to go harder. But you know, I think I was better watching it on TV. I think I enjoyed it as much and didn't miss all the no fans or no people around.
it was odd, you know, walking through Pimlico, and usually for that day it's just packed, and there was just nobody there, and the silence spoke volumes, I guess. But you know what, in the end, the racing kind of redeemed it all anyway, because it was just a tremendous day of racing. And
it was a great card.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see something similar on Saturday the 24th. Now, I want to ask you, I mean, obviously one of the things we've seen in the industry over the last number of years is these sort of vagaries of, you know, stallions coming and going, coming here, going to Pennsylvania, you know, leaving Pennsylvania and coming here and whatever. That obviously should have an effect on your program. And I guess I'm curious, I mean, one of the sort of pretty big developments of the last year or so in the breeding business has been Northview's decision to centralize all its operations in Maryland rather than having a Pennsylvania division. So that obviously those horses are not currently, you know, the horses say by Uncle Lino and whoever else are not currently eligible for Maryland Million, but they will be going forward. That could end up being a pretty good thing for Maryland's program and Maryland Million specifically.
Yeah, I think obviously we're very happy that they made the choice that Maryland was where they wanted to focus. And it's the region is, you know, we're always competitive with Pennsylvania, and even to some extent New Jersey and Virginia, and people that are breeding horses, they need to, in this economy, take advantage of every economic value. So whether they foal here and certify in Delaware or Virginia, or they buy a Maryland stallion and they foal somewhere else, but then also you need to make sure people have options. But and it's an expensive sport, so the breeders are we need to try to give them every way to make some return on their investment and encourage them. And it's the sport itself needs to work on that, not just Maryland. I mean, you can see if you look at the foal numbers nationally, they're dropping because people are realizing the cost of this sport is somewhat prohibitive. So I think we're all, as an industry, certainly in Maryland, trying to work on ways, better ways to be able to recoup your investment if you're breeding and racing your own horses. That's been a problem. And even through the commercial market, whether you're breeding and selling your horses or breeding and racing, you still, it's a tough way to make money. And we've got to address that and try to make it more user friendly.
How do you feel like the pandemic, I guess we don't have the report of mare spread yet, but what do you know either statistically or anecdotally about how that's affected the local breeding industry?
Well, what we heard last breeding season was that despite COVID and the various restrictions that were going on in the early winter, the breeding season was functioning still. People were taking their mares to stallions. And I believe the numbers, anecdotally, I believe the numbers will be about the same as last year. We did not hear that there was any huge, loss of business from not being able to get to the stallions, physically get the mares there. But that being said, next breeding season, I think where we're starting to see it is in going forward. And, a lot of the stallions in Kentucky just lowered stud fees, which and they're doing a lot of sort of special deals to encourage people to breed their mares in Kentucky. That's going to hurt the stallion business regionally, not just Maryland, Pennsylvania, everywhere. If somebody's enticing you with financial incentives to come to Kentucky for a lower stud fee than you really wanted to pay, you're going to consider it. And so I think it's I think we really, our work is just beginning to try to keep people breeding their mares here and foaling them here, because the reality is, like all the regional states, if we don't have a product, if we don't have Maryland breds or Maryland sired horses, the fields here are compromised, the racing quality is compromised. I mean, it really all goes back to the product, to the horses that are produced in your region. Trainers can't go out and buy all the yearlings they need. As far as going to an auction sale, they have to have a pipeline of, local horses coming forward. And you have to make that, going back to the economics, you got to make it appealing to people. I love this business, they might say. I have a wonderful time. But with COVID and all the other economic stuff going on, it just may be an economic decision that they have to cut back or not breed a mare for a year or something like that.
This is a sort of big amorphous question, but I mean, what are some of the things you feel like the industry, you said your work has just begun to try and keep mares here and keep the industry sort of going. What are some of the things you would see doing going forward?
Well, I think the first thing is to be competitive, which we know we have to compete with Pennsylvania and now Virginia. And so competitive is one thing, but like I said earlier, what we need to do is allow people to take advantage of our program and also some other programs so that the horse they're producing is eligible for money in multiple states, that they can at least get it to the races and, into its early career without losing it right away in a claiming race, and then they're out, a lot of money that they have spent, time, money, emotional investment. So I think with the, Sal Sinatra's sort of early proposal about changing the claiming game, and, the claiming game is not geared towards people who want to breed and race their own horses. It just is not. So that's a big part of it. You know, how do you, you've got to let people, if they're going to take the time to breed their horse and get it to the racetrack, you got to give them some time to recoup their investment before, you know, the horse gets claimed. And so I think smarter minds than me are trying to deal with that, because it's not just a Maryland problem or even a regional problem. It goes back to the production numbers. And because as soon as you start losing the product, then the number of races are cut, and then the number of track, you know, everything sort of contracts again. And so I think we're just considering a lot of ways to be more competitive with the finite amount of money. As we know, it, with in Maryland, the slots revenue is finite. We're not, you know, eligible now to go back and say, okay, we need more money, let's ask for some and we'll get it. And we're competing again there on a level with education and a lot of programs that, you know, the legislators want to hear about. They may want to hear about that more than they want to hear about horse racing. I mean, the good news is that, you know, the Community Development Act that's going to work on redoing Pimlico and Laurel is great, and it's going to get a lot of attention over the next few years. And it's a long overdue project that's taken a lot of people getting on the same page. But, you know, it's not going to really come to fruition for 3 or 4 years. And so I think this time in between is imperative to keep people in the business until then. You know, we can hold that out as a, you know, this is going to happen, but we can't rest on our laurels in the interim period and say, okay, well, we'll just wait until we get a new Pimlico or a new Laurel, and then we'll really work on it.
Given the history on the, particularly on the Pimlico issue, that would probably not be wise.
Search, hello, beautiful, working for it. Full half in the wrapper down to the inside. Gifted Heart the far outside into third position. Half mile 45.64 in the into the stretch. Hello, beautiful, the leader. And here's Sticking Together. Got a great run between horses. Sticking Together, charging into second. Half of the wrapper's third. Hello, beautiful, keeps on going though. Hello, beautiful, and Sheldon Russell in the lassie. Hello, beautiful. Hello, beautiful, ridden out and rolling home to score by four.
With Cricket Goodall here, Maryland Million on off to the races. And Cricket, I just a couple more things, and I know you got other stuff to do. But one is, and we talked about the, this is going back to the race day, we talked about the addition of the turf sprint. What else will people see this year? How is the race day itself going to look different from last year or some other previous years?
Well, hopefully not too different. I mean, you know, we hope the races, the entries are coming out tomorrow, so we hope we get good, strong, full fields. And, you know, we get great winners. We don't have somebody dominate. I think that we want races to stay on the turf at all costs. We're praying for no rain between now and Sunday. And, you know, it's the different parts that you really won't see if you're not there, the fans, is just, you know, a sort of strange celebration in the winner's circle without really winners in the winner, you know, without the horse and the, you know, just a lot of little things that are going to be different. We'll be televised, all our races will be televised on TVG. We worked out a deal with them, as we always have. We won't have hosts on site. We will not have any of the on-track entertainment, which, again, wasn't on television, but it was certainly fun for the fans. So we won't have the, you know, the hounds up and down the track or the pony races or all the stuff that is really geared towards actually on-track fans. But, you know, it'll all be different, and I really don't know what to expect. But our goal is to have really good competitive races and have a good day, you know, showing off Maryland's product and Maryland in a good light and make some money for all of us.
In this year in particular, that would be a pretty good outcome for everybody, I think. Last question, I'll let you go. You've been around Maryland Million for a long time. What's a favorite Maryland Million moment for you?
Well, I keep going back to this one, but I do like it. It was the year that Jim McKay's Sean's Ferrari won on Maryland Million Day, and he was a long shot. And that was when sort of the name jockeys would come in town, and Lafitte Pinkai, Billy Boniface, trained the horse, and he came in, and I don't know, he won. The stretch run was great, and it seemed like Lafitte just like picked him up and like, you know, got his head over the wire first. And Jim McKay was so excited. The horse's name came from his son Sean, and that was, instead of a Ferrari, Sean got a horse, which then won a race on Jim McKay's favorite day of Maryland racing. And Jim was speechless, which was he was always so prepared for all various outcomes in his broadcasting world that to watch him sort of be speechless was interesting too.
That is that's certainly a good story. It does seem like seems to me like everybody who's been around Maryland Million for a while has sort of like a favorite moment or story like that, don't you think?
Oh yeah, and there's so many really. I get caught up about, and usually afterwards because I'm so busy on Maryland Million Day, but you know, just the little stories about the guy with the one mare, or this is his only racehorse, or he's, you know, there's just a lot of that. There's also some, I need to mention this, some really important people who have helped make Maryland Million what it is and survive, and one was Bob Manfuso. So this year we are dedicating the day to Bob, who died a couple of months ago unexpectedly, and he would love that. Yeah, he was instrumental in getting Laurel, at that point he was a co-owner of Laurel Park, and getting Laurel to Frank DeFrancis to get excited about Maryland Million. Frank DeFrancis did, and we ran the first Maryland Million was run at Laurel, but without Bob sort of being the biggest cheerleader, it would have been a lot tougher, let's put it that way. So yeah, we're honoring him in the way we best can in this strange year, but he deserves it.
Yeah, no, that's nice. He loved that day. He would love that. I mean, I remember talking with him at various things, but including the Maryland Million post position draw the last couple of years, and he would always talk about Jim McKay and kind of the genesis of the whole thing. So I think that would be something he would really appreciate.
Yeah, I hope so, because he deserves it.
All right. Well, Cricket, this has been great. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to say, or anything you want people want to encourage people to do heading into Maryland Million 2020?
Well, hopefully, go watch it on TVG. Go to your computers and watch and bet, or come out if you feel so inclined and spend the day with us. Hopefully, we'll keep our fingers crossed next year is back to normal. But you know, we're going to do our best in a very strange year to have a great day. And thank you for giving me all this time to talk about it.
Well, thank you for joining me here on Off to the Races Conversations. You can, again, we'll go through the websites real quick, MarylandRacing.com. They'll have all the stuff on who can come and when you can come and how to enter the building and all that. MarylandHorse.com, that's where people will find your online auction this year, correct?
Correct, yes, that's it.
MarylandMillion.com for lots of good stuff about Maryland Million. And of course, the racingbiz.com. We'll be covering all sorts of Maryland Million things. We've got first article of the week up today, Tuesday. I guess this will probably post Wednesday, but we've got that up and we'll have stuff all week long. So, Cricket, thank you very much. Good luck. I hope you guys
Thanks,
have a
Frank.
Great Maryland Million day.
Thanks
and we'll
for
see
all
you
your
then.
Support over the years. Bye.
All right. Take care.
This has been Off to the Races Conversations. My name's Frank Vespi, and that was our guest, Cricket Goodall. We'll be back next week with more Off to the Races Conversations. But before that, later on this week, we're going to have a Maryland Million handicapping podcast with some of our expert handicappers. And of course, you can follow all things Maryland Million on the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Off to the Races Conversations is powered by the Racing Biz. Tune in next week. Have a great weekend.